without you, this world is just a mess. It's a mess. And I don't know how anybody today can face this world without you. So God, thank you that you have called us. Thank you that you have given us this call to a life that is hard, to a life that is just many days, it just seems so weird and so strange. The day we come to just ask you to speak through the words that I'm going to talk about today, the things that are in your word. And if they're not in the word, God, and things that are of me, then just let them fall by the wayside. But if they're things that are of you, may you speak to our hearts and our spirits today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, thank you for the lights. That's wonderful. I can actually see you guys. You don't go to sleep on me a little bit. So we're really in this second week of a series that we are calling Called. And called is a strange thing to really think about, because when you became a Christian or you became a follower of Jesus, most of you probably didn't hear a verbal voice. Maybe some of you did. But most of us don't really understand that word called. What does it mean to be called? Well, you know, you hear somebody say, "Hey, come here." That's a call. And I believe that God has called us to a life that is different than others on this planet. And so today we're going to talk about, if we're called, how do we get back on track sometimes? Because it's so easy to live in this world that has for the last two or three years, has mystified a lot of us. I've been around for 63 years, and the last 3 years has just been different. I know some of you that are older than me, you lived through some really weird times, and I understand that, but it's been a mystifying couple years. And things in our world just seem kind of topsy-turvy. And so it's really easy to get off balance with your finances. You ever do that? You ever get off balance with your finances where maybe you just kind of fall behind and you don't keep up with them, and all of a sudden you wake up and you go, "Oh, I got no money." You ever had a problem with your health where you wake up one day and you go, "Oh, I got a problem," and you decide you've got to go to the gym, or you need to cut back, or you need to do something. And it's that same way spiritually. I believe a lot of us here today are suffering from being off track. We're off track with God, and we're out of sync. We love Him, and we care about Him. I mean, if you're here, and you're online, and you're watching, I believe you with all my heart that you care about Him, that you love Him, that you think that He is God. But the peripheral stuff kind of goes away. The things that really draw us to depth with God kind of fall away. And it's so easy to get off track. And so today we want to talk about, what do you do when you're off track, when you're called? What do you do when you've been called by God, you know you've been called, and God put a call in your life to say, "I need you, you're mine. I made you for a very specific purpose, and I need you to do this in life." And you're here this morning going, "I don't even know why the heck I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. What I thought was right is wrong. What was wrong is right. And now the world is telling me this." And of course, you know, you can't listen to the world, but you can't help but not listen to the world and see all the crazy things that are going on around us. Last week, we built this foundation, and I spent the whole service talking about what it means to be called. And we looked at a very specific scripture that the Apostle Paul had that's going to come up on the screen here, Ephesians 4. Let me review that with you, because it still follows into today's lesson too very much. "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." That was the Apostle Paul saying that, you know, he was going through much stress. Church and being a part of a church isn't just someplace you go. It should not just be an add-on in our lives. It should not just be an hour or two that we give to God during the week. It should be our our whole existence, because if we're called by God, that means that everywhere, everything, every part of our life is supposed to be God-driven, God-ordained in that sense. We are the called out ones. That's what the church means. We are to be called out to be different from those around us. And here's what I know about some of you sitting here and some of you at home today that are watching online. You're physically drained. You're emotionally depleted. You're spiritually exhausted. You're discouraged. And some of you right now just don't even know what's what. And you're a little bit confused. How do you keep your passion? How do you keep a passion month after month, year after year? And the only answer that I can give you this morning is this. It's because you are called. You are called. God has put a call on your life. He has called specifically each one of you in this place. And he has something that he wants you to accomplish. And I want to show you three things, and I'm going to talk about a couple of those things today as we talk about this morning. I think there's three specific calls that he puts on our life. The first one is he calls us to salvation. He calls everyone. The Bible says he wants no one not to have salvation. He wants all men and women to come to him, all of us. That's great news. Because before God ever calls you to a job, before God ever calls you to do whatever you think you're supposed to be doing, God calls you to himself. He says, you're mine. You're mine. And I'm yours. That's great news. Scripture says this call is a call to people who were sinners. While yet we were sinners, he called to us, and he not only accepts us, he loves us. Don't ever let that become ho-hum. I believe some of you have. You've let the call that God put on your life just become something that you did when you were younger. It's something that you participate in a little bit, but it's not something that fully encompasses your life. God never meant for that. God wants to be in every fabric of every minute of every second of everything that you do. And it is so easy in this life that we live to take a little sieve and to sieve him out of almost every portion of our life. We bring him in when there's a funeral. We bring him in when there's a problem. We bring him in when there's something huge. But oftentimes when we need him the most, we speak to him the least. We talk to him the least. So he calls you to salvation. He also calls you to sanctification. Big old church word, don't look it up. Basically, it's an old-fashioned word that means to be set apart. Here's the world. He has called you out of the world to be over here, to be set apart. You are sanctified through his son Jesus, not by what you did, but by what he did through his son Jesus. You are called out of the world to him to be set apart for a very specific job on this planet. You are not here just to take up space. You are not here just to clock in 9 to 5 or whatever you clock in. You are not here just to go on vacation. You are not here. No, you are here for a very specific reason. God called you. And some of you have forgotten that call, and you're kind of off track. Kind of off track. And your heart is far off from God. The things that you know more things about the things of Netflix than you know about the things of God. You know more things about your hobby than you know about God. You can talk more about sports and you know more about the race and you know more about this than you know about what God cares about. God has called you to be set apart. And he's giving you a very specific set of skills, like Liam Neeson said in that one movie. He says, I have given a very specific set of skills. He gave you those skills to do something for the kingdom, not just for yourself. So he calls you to be saved or salvation. He calls you to sanctification, to be set apart. And he calls you to serve. He calls you to serve. And I want to speak about that a little bit today. Our service is a lot about that. today, our lesson. We looked last week at Colossians 3:7. Paul said this. He said, whatever you do, listen, whatever you do, whatever it is, whether it's in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Whatever you do. Well, can I get drunk and give him glory? No, can't. Can I do some of the things I do on the internet? No. Whatever you do, you work that 9 to 5. You work whatever it is you work on. You give him the glory. He gets the glory, not you. Look what I did. Look where I rose in my job. Look how the nice things that I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look where I did. Look who I did. No. It's all for his glory. And we forget that because we forget we've been called. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said this in 1 Corinthians 1:26 says this. Brothers and sisters, think of what you, listen to this. This is so good. I wish I would have wrote it, but I didn't. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. In other words, you weren't nothing to write home about. You were, who were you? You were but dust. Not but dust. Don't somebody else say that. You were but dust. You were but dust. And he called you. He called you to something greater than yourself. He called you to something greater than most of you are involved in right now. He called you to a life of service that serves and makes a difference in other people's lives. This is encouraging because if you look who God calls, God always calls inept people. He always calls stinky people, stinky fishermen that are always messy. And he's calling me, and he's called you, people who are screw-ups, people who are mess-up, people who just take the best opportunities, and we take them, we squander them. And he still has called us anyway. He calls those who are spiritual nobodies. He doesn't go out and look for the biggies in the universe. He calls nobodies. His very son was born in a stable. I love the old saying. It says this: God doesn't call the prepared. God prepares the called. I want you to think about that a minute. Because a lot of you, how many of you said no to assignments that people have asked you to do for Jesus? You know, I can't do that. Don't ask me to do that. I ain't doing that. How many of you have done that? How many of you are doing that? That's off track, my friends. That's off track because God called you to serve. That's got to be good news for somebody here today. You do not have to have it all together. Whenever Jesus called me to salvation, I was a mess. I knew who he was, and I turned my back from him. And he loved me anyway, and he showed me a way out. I was going to be all about football, and I was going to go play football, and I got hurt, and my football dreams went away. He showed me a different way. He showed me that the ministry was a way that he wanted me to go. Let me give you a couple facts about calling that you need to take home with you today. The first is this, that if God calls you, there's a cost to it. If God calls you, there's a cost. Let me explain that. Whenever God called Saul in the Bible, if you don't know the story, Saul was the guy that hated Christians. He persecuted Christians. He went out and he killed them. His name was later turned to Paul. But whenever he went, he had this encounter with God, and God met him on the road, and God didn't shine him all up into a shiny penny. God blinded him, took away his sight. God sent this messenger. How'd you like to be an Ananias That's the messenger. He had to go talk to this guy that was killing Christians. A Christian has to go talk to this blind guy that's been killing all of his friends. And he goes to him, and he has a very specific message. He said, Saul, your eyes are going to be healed, and after that, you're going to have this incredible, crazy testimony. Saul's going, what? So Ananias goes to Paul, and he tells him, you've been chosen by God. You've been called by God to do something incredible. The very first thing, Saul, you're going to be called to preach to the Gentiles. What? To make a difference in the world, to serve, and I'm going to show you how much it's going to cost you. Calling cost. When you are called, you have to be a different. You have to come out of the world. You're not like everybody else in the world. You are set apart. You are set apart for a work that God has called you. You are an oddball a little bit. You are different. You're an alien, the Bible says. And here we are so busy trying to just fit in and find our place in this world. Bull hockey. Your place is to be different than the world. Here at our church, there are so many ways to serve. If you serve at the Hub, you're God's way of serving this community. People from this community walk onto our campus every Tuesday, and all during the week, they come in and they need help and they need hope. That place is a beacon out there, and you guys are a part of that. Some of you need to get more involved. You might be God's chosen instrument in the place that you work. You are God's chosen instrument in your work. Nobody else works at your work but you. You're supposed to hold out the light. You might be God's chosen instrument in your friend group. God often uses our deepest hurts and our pains to launch our greatest calling. Let me explain that to you. What does that mean, Jeff? That he uses deep pains to launch. I've seen, and I don't want to pick on anybody today. I don't want to have anybody be talked about in this way, but I you need to know this. I've seen some incredible divorce care ministry started because people have gone through divorce. And those people who have been divorced, they understand what it means to be alone. They understand what it means to get wrecked. They understand, and they become this conduit to be able to go along other people who are divorced and walk along them and take them and show them who Jesus is and show them how you can walk through it. I know some people who have lost loved ones that are sitting in this room today, and they've taken that grief, and after they've grieved, they've taken that grief, and they become some of the best grief counselors that there possibly are. You can do so much because you understand that great pain leads you to know that either somebody walks through you when you're having that grief, or maybe somebody doesn't walk through that with you, and you're going, where was my friends? And so what you have a choice to do is to get mad and bitter, or you go be God's light to other people who go through that same thing. I know some people in here that have lost kids to drugs and suicide. And I understand the pain that you're going through. Some. I don't understand at all, because I've never had that happen. But I know this. God may be calling you to be that person or people that comes alongside somebody else that's hurting, that's lost kids. There are so many instances of those things. So many. When God gives you pain, allows pain to come into your life, he doesn't give you pain. When he allows pain to come into your life, it's there for a reason. He wants you to do something because of that. He wants you to act and to serve in a very specific way. Calling always costs. Rich Mullins last week in that piece I had, he said, it hurts to be called because we're supposed to be different. God never, ever promises that this life would be easy. And that's why it's so easy to get off track, because we live in a culture that says, if you hurt, don't do it. Stay away from it. Get as far as you can away. Run away from the pain. Ignore it. And Jesus says, run to it, and I'll heal you. Run to it, and I'll show you how to exist in this world where you don't have to think about whatever it is you're thinking about every day, where you take that pain and that hurt and you focus it into love that comes alongside somebody else. I believe the biggest enemy of God calling people is comfort. Because when we get comfortable, you know what happens? We don't do anything. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. It doesn't have to be me. Surely somebody else will do it. It's been one of the benchmarks of this church since we started 20 years ago. Usually 60 to 70% of the people in this congregation are always doing something. Most churches, it's 10%, 10 to 12% do all the work, which is lousy. It's lousy. That 80%, 90% let 10% do all the work. It's lousy that 40%. But it's okay, because maybe there's still time for you. There's time for you to serve. There's time for you to say, what can I do, God? Here I am. Send me. Here I am, send me. Calling hurts, and also calling keeps you going. It sustains you. It sustains you. Calling sustains you. What I mean by that, it when it gets really, 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 really hard, you stay in your marriage. When it gets really, really, really hard, you press into your kids. You don't press out. You just say, oh, whatever. They'll just do whatever they're going to do. I give up. Let them go. Kids are going to be kids. When you think about Paul in the New Testament, he's the poster child for all of us who are Christians. I've talked about him a million times, and in particular, how bad he was treated. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was left for dead, put in jail, falsely accused, imprisoned, and yet he remained faithful. He stayed on track. How'd he do it? Listen, Paul didn't finish the race because he was competent. He was no different than you. Paul finished the race because of his calling. He knew that he knew that he knew who he was. And he knew that if he stayed faithful, God would do a work in him and would help him get through it. I didn't say deliver him from it. I didn't say he would just pick him up out of it and pull him out of the pain. No. No. What he did was he walked through that pain with him. I love what Philippians 3, 11 and 13 says. I think I put it up on our screen too. Philippians 3, 11 through 13. Paul didn't, forgetting what is behind. I love this too. Forgetting what is behind, the past, the world, forgetting what was yesterday, and straining towards the future for what's in the head. For what's coming. I'm straining. I'm reaching for that. I'm not back here in the past. I'm not going towards the world. I'm straining towards the future. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's the calling that you've been called to. Forget the past. But our world tells us, keep the past alive. Because you've been hurt. You're a victim. Oh, you poor thing. Forget the past. Strain towards the future. You've been called to salvation. You've been called to sanctification. You've been called to serve. God and his calling is never easy. It's always going to be hurtful. It's always going to be hard. If you thought it was anything different, I'm sorry. If some preacher told you, some teacher told you that Christianity was going to be easy, they're wacky. Christianity is hard, but it is a calling. You've been set apart. God has his eye and his heart on you. In his realm, you're the only picture that's on his refrigerator. I don't know how that works, but it does. You are his beloved. He loves you so, so much. Somebody needs to get back on track here this morning. Somebody here today is way off track. Your bus is, the wheels have fallen off. Spiritually. And you know, if it's spiritual, your bus, the wheels will fall off. Probably falling off in other areas of your life too. Because that's how we keep on track. If I had a caution to say to you today, the caution is this. Don't let what you see around you take you away from what you're called to do. Don't let what you see going on around you, the news, the different events, the rallies, the things, everybody's doing it, everybody's good, everybody, we're all this way, we're all that way. There's not just men and women, there's binary, blah, blah, blah. Got to be very careful. Got to be very, very careful. It hurts. It hurts. And I know we all know people that are hurting. But I don't want you to think about those people today. I want you to think about right now, you and your place with God and your calling. It's going to be difficult. It's going to hurt. Talk to the band. We have four bands that stand up here on a somewhat monthly basis, and they try to put together every week. They get, and how many people come up to them? Oh, band, you guys are incredible. We love you guys. Thanks so much for putting 5 hours a week in. Yeah, thank you. I don't think it happens too much. Kids back there and all the teachers. Oh, teacher, thank you. No. God is calling some of you today to serve, to step up. There are things that need to be done in the kingdom of God. And you're called not only to get back on track, you're called today to walk in your lane, the lane that God puts you in, not your lane, not the lane that some coach said you should, not the lane that somebody else is saying, but the lane that God has called you, that purpose that he called you to do. Take the stuff that you can do incredible and do it incredible for the kingdom. Does it all need to be done in the church? No. It needs to be done at your job. People need to see some difference out of you folks, out of us folks. Instead of the world is going to hell in a handbasket, my God has got this. Instead of, you know, I'm tired, and I can't tell you how many people I say, how you doing? I'm tired, really tired. I hear that again and my head's going to blow up. How about I'm energized because he who lives in me, I can do all things. No, I can do something. I can do a little, I don't know what I can do. Paul said it this way. He said, I'm hard-pressed on every side, getting tighter and tighter around me, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed. What in the world is going on in our world? But I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted. But I'm not abandoned. Who's with me? God. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. Why? Because Because he knew and he knew that he knew that he was called by God. Church, you are called by God. You are called by God. There is none higher. There is no president. There is no foreign diplomat. There's nobody higher than God. He has called you. That should be enough. Don't let the world talk you out of your calling. Stop letting the world and what that mom thinks and that dad thinks and this grandma thinks and that person thinks and that news station says and that meme says and that. Stop listening to those things. I want you to feel the power of this verse I'm going to do. I'd like you to stand up as the band comes. Stand up if you would. You're like, what? Yes, please stand up. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to listen. I'm going to read a scripture over you. Not my words, just scripture. I want you to internalize this in your soul. Please shut your eyes. Don't look around. Listen to what Paul said. We constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith. We pray these things so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. And all God's people said, amen. What does that mean? We do all those things so that God can be lifted up. I go to work at the hospital. I go to work at the factory. I go to work at the office. That everything I do, everything I say, brings glory to the name of Jesus. Be careful of your words, church. Be careful of the things you say out loud, that you put on social media, that you say into the atmosphere. Because people are watching and they're listening to this, and is there anybody different? It's harder and harder to find because so many people are off track. So this is the part of our service we call our ministry time. Basically, it means this. You have a couple things you can do as the band's going to play here in a second. God's calling some of you to make a choice today. He's calling some of you to repent and to say, you know, I'm sorry. God, not Jeff, not church, God, for what I've done and what I said, how I've made our family, I've made my ministry, I've made what I did or didn't do. That's your choice. You and Jesus talk about that. If you're here today and you'd like to come to our, we have an altar here. We call it an altar. Basically, it's a time that somebody says, I need a little bit more. I just want to come and I want to pray before God. Nobody will come and talk to you. It's just for you. Or thirdly, if you'd like somebody to pray with you, there's some folks all the way back in that door back there. And you're here today and you're going, I don't understand anything that guy just said, but I feel something in my heart. Go talk to them. And they'll talk a little bit more with you. See what God does in you through this time. This is important time. Don't just check out, okay? See what Jesus does in you. Thank you.
say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your find a way to bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all. Your embrace. Help me find a way to bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all.
Have a seat if you would. We're called to sanctification, to salvation, and we're called to serve. And I want to challenge you today to really press in and think about how you can serve in the kingdom. Don't let a certain percentage of people do your job to do it, not just here at the church, where you live, where you work, where you play. Today, we're going to have a baptism, and so I'm going to ask Rick and Josh to come on up here, and everybody else would like to come up. Anybody else? Family? I'm going to let Rick introduce them. Come on up here and stand here and just turn around, guys. Yep. Here you go. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're here to witness the baptism of Josh Cullinan. To talk about getting to this day, we got to talk a little bit about me and my journey. So first of all, I was born and raised a Catholic. And so when we got married. My wife, by the way, I forgot to introduce. This is George, Josh's dad, and Amy, my wife. When we got married, we moved to Franklin temporarily 47 years ago. And we were going to St. Rose, and the pastor, Bob Mazzola, at the time, was very big into connections. So if a new person came into the parish, they made sure that he made sure that they were introduced to other members of the parish. So some of the first people that we met at St. Rose were George and Linda Conan and their two kids, Chris and Amy. So moving up, and we became friends. So moving up to the end of 1978, Linda was pregnant with Josh, and Amy was pregnant with our first son, Aaron. So when Josh was born, they asked us to be his godparents for his baptism at St. Rose. Fast forward to the end of 2003, and our oldest son, Aaron, was diagnosed with brain cancer. And the Cullinans were with us for that entire year with Aaron. 3 years later, Linda became ill and suddenly passed. And we were there for the Cullinans. Since then, Amy has been pretty much like a mom to Josh. So in the interim, eventually I decided to leave St. Rose, and I started going to a small church here in the area. Josh, because of his job, and most of you know Josh because of, from Lowe's. Yes. Josh had, because of his irregular schedule, and he just had quit going to St. Rose, and we were talking, and he started coming to church with me to this other church. And the pastor over there one Sunday was talking about adult baptism. And Josh started talking to me about it. And I was asking him why he wanted to be baptized. And he said, well, his parents brought him to church and he was baptized and he knew we were his godparents. But it was something that, if we're raised Catholic, there are a lot of things that happen that you're just kind of expected, Your parents take you to church to be baptized. There's First Communion, there's confirmation. But he said, there's something that I want to do that's my decision. And so he wanted to be baptized. Well, COVID hit. It didn't get done. I got to the point, I was watching services online. I couldn't take it anymore. And when churches started opening up back again, I started looking at churches in the area. And I had heard about this particular church and heard lots of good things about it. So I came to church here for the first time on Labor Day weekend 2 years ago. Bob was preaching. Bob was preaching, and he ended his message with, well, if you want to hear part two of this message, you got to come back next week. I was intrigued with the message enough to come back the next week, and I've been here ever since. So I'd heard lots of good things about the church and Pastor Jeff. So it wasn't long. I was coming, and my other good friend, Jim Williams, back here, started coming with me. And it wasn't long, and then Josh was coming with us. So, and Josh comes as he can because he's got a weird work schedule. So, he knew that baptisms occurred on a regular basis here, and he decided he wanted to be rebaptized again, this time, as his decision. So, that's how we get to today. So, to begin with, we're going to Catholic this up just a little bit. So I'm going, because Josh, do you remember that how on Easter we always renewed our baptismal promises?
I do.
So I'm going to try and remember them. So we're going to do that. And then Pastor Jeff is going to ask you the acceptance. And we're going to go do it. Okay? So. And all of his false promises.
I do.
And do you believe in God the Father, the creator of all things?
I do believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered, died, buried, rose, ascended to heaven, and will come again?
I do believe.
And do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the giver of life?
I do believe.
Jeff?
Just keep it right there. Just keep it right there. Just put it in his mouth. Josh, do you believe?
I do believe.
That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
I do believe.
You receive him as your Lord, your Savior, and your boss. That's what we say around here. You're a boss.
I do believe.
A perfect boss, right? A perfect
right.
boss. All right, God bless you. Let's give him a big hand as they go prepared.
You see, you never know when the calling is going to fit.
True, true.
Right?
True, correct, correct. Thank you. You guys can take a picture right here if you want to. While they're doing that, Brandy's going to come, and I think she's somewhere in the place. You can have a seat for just a minute. It's going to take them a minute. We're going to have Brandy talk a little bit about the hub. The hub, if you're visiting, is a building that we have back here that we built 2 years ago, right before the pandemic, to help with food and clothing. And we have been so blessed by the way that you guys have helped us reach out every week, a bunch of the families. Brandy wants to tell you a couple hub stories. We're going to watch the news, and then we'll have the, by that time, the guys will be dressed.
You're morning. Good. Hi. You guys are so close. Heavens. I'm here to just share, to encourage and kind of update you on what's going on back there. The Lord is doing huge things, growing like crazy. I think last Tuesday was our third busiest night. PTL, it was really awesome. It's an awesome problem to have. It's really, really sweet. So I'm going to share a couple stories with you. But before that, I'm going to plead, maybe beg just a little bit. We are super low on food. Let me just remind you that we don't have any money back there that comes in. It's all by donation. It's all by volunteers. So if you could, I'm going to pass out these really fancy little cards that I made. I wanted to get fancy and make them like a credit card size. You can keep it in your wallet, but that didn't work. I don't know how to do all that stuff. But we're going to pass those out today. Oh, he's going to do it right now. I love him. And so just when you go to the store, get an extra can of soup or something like that. You can bring them back to us on Tuesdays, 5 to 6:30, or just call me and I'll meet you here. Again, super duper low. So if you could help with that. We were just really encouraged this week. There's always a story, always some really cool things happening, but I just wanted to share a couple stories with you. One thing, Laura Heldman and her Thursday night group. I don't know if Laura's here. I saw some Heldmans. Anyway, the girls made birthday packs. So it's literally a cake pan, cake mix, anything for a birthday party. So we shared those with people this week, and we were just really encouraged by a lady who was just moved to tears for her 98-year-old grandpa or somebody that she takes care of. Never had a birthday cake, things like that. So she was going to make that for him. It was after his birthday, but she was so excited she was going to do it anyway. So things like that are super encouraging to me. There's another lady. There's a local women's shelter for domestic violence. And I've met her before. We couldn't put two and two together. Anyway, she drives an old access bus, kind of like our creepy hub bus back there. But hers is, she's got a bed in the back and kind of like a living room type thing in the back as well. She goes and picks up women who are fresh out of prison or jail or whatever and kind of helps them get back on their feet. And I believe they stay in this bus and things like that until they can get stuff going. So they are going to be new... hub people. They're going to start coming more often. We're going to serve them more. One woman there, the woman that she brought, after putting two and two together, she just lost her parents, seemed to be fresh out of wherever she was at before, maybe pregnant, I couldn't tell, super duper sweet. Her parents, she just lost both of her parents. The connection there is we served her parents for years over at the Cove, didn't know it, spent time in their living room, hanging out, talking to them, sharing with them. Sorry, it's getting close. And so anyway, she really wants to be connected. And so one other plea, she needs 9.5 size slip-proof shoes, if anybody has any of those, or whatever they're called, you know, the restaurant shoes. Another woman, we're connected through CareNet and things like that. We're also looking for a pack and play, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's lots of stories. Talk to me, because I have a lot. The final one is just this. There was a girl that had come in, and she used to have a relationship with the Lord, doesn't because of people, because we're dumb and people do things and say things and whatever, but it's not about us. She came to the hub to get stuff for her kid, ended up helping all night, crying, saying, I feel something, it's a stir, I want to come help, I want to do something, I don't know what it is. We know what that is, that's Jesus. She's already met me back there one other time. She'll be back here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So pray for her because that stir is Jesus, and pray for everybody at the hub to speak truth to her. And I think that's it. Oh, pray for a box truck, too. We need a box truck real, real bad. We can get free food from
Midwest.
We can't get free food from Gleaners. In fact, it's cheaper to go to Aldi's than get canned goods from Gleaners right now. So we really need a box truck. We're talking about renting a box truck, but we need your money to do that, too. So we need some food. We need some money. We need lots of prayers. If you want to volunteer, let me know. We have tons of volunteers, tons of clothes. But food and money is awesome. I lost everything else I was going to say, but is that it?
You did great.
It was a lot. Great.
Josh, hang on just a second. We're going to do the news, and then we'll go. Thanks. Thanks, Brandy. Do the news, and then we'll have you, Rick. Just 1 minute, because we want to end with you guys. You can go on and get ready.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. Saturday at 6:30, we're going to be showing a special Father's Day movie. We're going to be showing the movie Courageous. So if you would like to come watch the movie, please come here at the church. We will have free popcorn, but we ask that you bring your own drink. If you took home a baby bottle for the CareNet Center here in Franklin, we ask that you please bring your baby bottles back by next Sunday. If you would like to write a check to the CareNet Center, please make it out to ICC, and then we will forward the money to the CareNet Center. The past couple weeks, the Hub has been giving out a lot of extra food, so we are running low on some food. So if you could please donate some canned food items or pick up a June newsletter that has more specific items to help families. If you are wanting to get involved with the Hub or have questions about what kind of food should be donated, please go see Brandy or Chris Ward. Next Sunday is we're going to be celebrating Father's Day here at ICC. So if you are a dad or a dad figure, please come in your best Hawaiian outfit. And also next Sunday, we're going to be serving a breakfast of biscuits and gravy. Camp is coming up next week, so please pray for a wonderful week and beautiful weather. Our kids ministry could use a couple more teachers. So if you were interested in helping with our kids ministry or teaching, please go see Whitney Worthen. Well, ICC, that is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Rick. Let him turn around and stand there so they can get a picture. Can you turn around and get a picture? There you go. Perfect. Thank you, guys. Have a great week.